What's up, guys? I'm Ezra Henry here, and welcome back to another episode of the Moda 247 Show. This is episode 43, and I'll be joined tonight by Dean Taylor as he's calling in to discuss round three of the Supercross season in Anaheim. Man, it was a crazy one, and we got a good championship brewing here.
If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too, and I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool, have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and that looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism.
And yeah, the injury bug has definitely struck. A few guys went out before the race even started. The McAdoo got hurt in practice there and had a gnarly crash. I was definitely surprised to see him even try the race the night show. And not only did he race, but he got a top 10 with a 8.75 for 6 overall. So, you know, as Ricky Carmichael says, your championships are won on your worst days, which he's still pretty far back from Jet, but considering that gnarly crash he had, if he can, you know, he walked out of there with a sixth place overall is pretty remarkable.
Oh, for sure. No, it's crazy. Like I said, I'm trying to think of who else got injured and stuff, but, you know, like, obviously we heard, like, talking more about PC guys, you know, like, with Joe Shimoda crashing out and stuff. I don't know if you've heard, like, I believe it's Chris Bolos is filling in on the East Coast now. I'm out of retirement.
Yeah, which is, he had a little short retirement after, I think his last race was Paris. So,
yeah, because I thought he did the World Supercross or something, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on Kawasaki over there, so I guess he's used to Kawasaki, but, you know, hopefully he can make the adjustment over the PC bike pretty quick and get rolling here for Houston. But really pumped to see him back, but it's so sucky to see Mitch and just the whole pro circuit team, like, year after year, and it's looking like they're gonna make progress and, you know, put in a really good year and even have some championship contenders, and then, like, it seems like almost every year for the last few years, like, almost everyone on the teams are getting hurt, where if it's Faulkner or, you know, McAdoo, and, you know, now Shimoda, where now it's what?
Hammaker and then DeFrancesco.
Yeah, Hammaker. Yeah, then Reynolds still hasn't raced the Supercross yet. And who knows when he's coming back. I don't know if he's coming back for Houston or what. I know he started riding not too long ago, like a month or two ago. So I'm not sure if he's going to come in for the East Coast or come in, you know, later for Supercross or how they're going to play that, but it's just crazy with that whole team. Then now, I don't know what in the heck's been going on over in California, because everyone's getting hurt. Not only the pro circuit team, but Rockstar Husky is pretty beat up now. Malcolm got hurt, and that's, you know, heard that's a pretty bad injury. What's his face got hurt? Jalik Swole got hurt. And so it's just one of those things. It's really weird now because you're seeing teams scramble to get fill-in riders, which really sucks just in general, but especially with it only being January still, which is something you definitely don't normally see this early on in the season at all. But so I'm expecting some more guys to get some calls up, and we'll see who takes some of those spots. You know, Chris Bose is coming in, and Carson Mumford's coming in too, which will be Oakland, so I'm excited to see how he'll do. He's coming back from the injury too, so hopefully he can come in halfway, you know, normal and put in a good ride and kind of like a tryout ride, you know, for PC, which you know, I think a lot of people are rooting for him and stuff after, you know, him coming up through Team Green and then signing with Geico, and then after that whole deal with Geico falling apart, you know, him bouncing back and forth on satellite teams, which I think it'd be cool if he can. It'd be a really good story if he can put in some really good results on Mitch Payton's pro circuit team and come back. But yeah, so far the West Coast has been pretty entertaining points wise. It's kind of been Jet's show, obviously, but I think when they come back, we should have some pretty good racing still.
Yeah.
Here's the points. And Jet has a 16-point lead over McAdoo, and then Hampshire's back there. And yeah, we forgot to talk about Hampshire there. His gnarly crash. I've been hearing so many interviews with him lately and him just saying how he's been riding smarter and not going, like, balls to the wall and trying to send it everywhere because, you know, he's been knowing the wad up almost all the time, right? So for him to ride smarter lately, it's been huge. But this weekend, you know, got that first moto win, then going into the second moto, you know, wadding up over that or in that sand section there going across the mechanics area, which is pretty gnarly of a crash. And then seeing him get caught behind Jet and when Jet went down for the second time too, really sucked. I was definitely hoping that with Jet going out, he can at least make up some points on him and
just keep that championship close.
Yeah, just keep it closer, but that really sucks. But and another thing I wanted to talk about too is Enzo Lopes. I thought he was going to be doing better this weekend. I don't know what he got for starts. It seemed like he wasn't really up front hardly at all early on in the race, so that really sucks. But yeah, he was looking really good in the last couple weeks and looking really promising, but he's down in, what, 6 in the points right now. So the points are still somewhat close, but I guess second through fifth are close. But besides that, you know, Jet has that big lead. So I'm looking on the AMA website right now, and they have Anaheim 1. Then it goes from round 1 to round 3 to 4 then 2. So it's looking like they're keeping that.
February
18th. So yeah, Oakland, they're still calling that round 2. Which, in reality, round 4 for the West Coast at least. But oh well, but kind of weird. But yeah, Anthony Rodriguez is in 12th, 9-11. So I thought he'd be doing a little bit better, but it's been a while off Supercross for him, at least over here in the States. And Hunter Yoder, I know a lot of people are talking about him going to PC possibly. He's back there. I'm in 15th right now, but with a 6-9 and an 8th overall. So he's not doing too bad. I think he's honestly just sitting there pretty quietly putting in some solid rides instead of the top 10. Because I haven't heard them really talk about him at all on the broadcast, which really sucks.
No, I mean, there's people in the know. They're going to recognize that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'd be cool to see him step up. He was on that Geico team. I know Geico signed him when he was real young, and it'd be cool to see him come up and have another good story like Mumford. A little bit different, but you know, coming up and getting a factory ride and taking advantage of it. But yeah, so far it's the one thing that sucks is we're 3 rounds in right now in the West Coast, the third end of the championship, and it seems like it's already somewhat settled. Like, obviously anything can happen. We saw it this past weekend with Jet falling a couple times, but he has a pretty big lead now. So now it's just, you know, I'm all about managing it, and they do have one more triple crown left, so who knows what will happen there, you know, with Jet. But anyways, hopefully McAdoo can heal up or he can be somewhat near 100% when they come back for Oakland. But I know they'll have a couple week break after that, so that'll be nice. But or even a Hampshire too, because I have no idea what's wrong with him. But that crash did look like it was a pretty bad one, though.
Yeah. At the same time, too, I'm almost excited to see a little bit how this East Coast stuff's going to be looking here after this round this weekend. You know, see how Hunter's going to be, and even Jeremy Martin and stuff.
Yeah, honestly, I'm more excited for the East Coast than watching West Coast. Normally, I love watching West Coast more. I like the baseball stadiums, the bigger tracks, seems like they always have kind of a different layout, you know, in the baseball stadium. It kind of allows you to do more than the traditional, you know, indoor football stadiums that we see a lot here on the East Coast and stuff. And normally the West Coast is absolutely stacked, but I don't know. I'm really excited for to see the East Coast, and that should be a pretty deep field to where, even if it is, you know, someone like Hunter up there up front and, you know, dominating, I think even the battles from, you know, third on are going to be really good. So I think we should be in for some really good racing, and it's always nice too, to not have such late races as well. I know a lot of us on the East Coast are, you know, can't pull off that 1 a.m. night, you know, on Saturday trying to watch it.
What do you think about the futures for this weekend? Like, do you think Hayden's still gonna sign up and race East Coast this weekend? Because everybody was hyping that up, saying that's what he was gonna, what his plan was.
I've heard a few different takes on it, and I've heard he signed up, but you know how that is. Like, everyone signs up for A1, and then, you know, only whoever is doing it, you know, obviously does it, but just, you know, they have their name in there. But I think he should race. I don't know. I guess it depends on how he feels. But, like, I was hearing, like, two different theories where it's, like, one, you know, get your feet wet, you know, and don't expect to come out swinging and getting podiums or race wins or anything, because I know he's so hyped up right now where, you know, he's been dominating his only amateur career, and he's been growing up, you know, riding on supercross tracks and stuff. But come out and kind of, you know, just get a feel for it and where you can come out next year and you know, be a contender. But or it's like, does he sit back and just train with the Star Boys? Because now he trains with the whole, you know, pro team, obviously. So should he just stay back at the goat farm and just learn as much as he can there and then come out and for his rookie year and just be more prepared, which I don't know. Like, I think he should race this weekend, but I don't know. I'm just kind of biased because I just want to see it. I think it'll be more entertaining for us, but I was definitely a little bit surprised this weekend, but he did fall and it was a short race, so you couldn't really expect that much out of him, you know, after the falling there. And that corner, man, that got so many riders. And it was like the same as that crash, you know, like him and Jet and stuff after the finish line there. But yeah, I'm honestly really excited for, like, just the whole futures class in general. Like, Hawkins looked good. The star team looked good. Hayden and Bennett. But yeah, I'm pretty excited, and I'm really curious to see how the teams are going to play it. To where I know Rockstar Husky needs fill-in riders, so are they going to call Hawkins up for Houston or what? So I guess we'll find that out this weekend. But yeah, honestly, it was some pretty good racing though, and it's pretty cool that they're doing it though, because it was a little bit different. You know, was it 2 years ago when they were doing the amateur day where they just had the tracks really tamed down and stuff? Then they're having the futures class racing that, but I can only imagine just being on that stage, like, especially like Anaheim, being on a West Coast race like that, to where you're in a sold out stadium, the lights are on, you're on the same exact track that the pros are racing, so you get a really good feel for it and stuff, and it was some pretty good racing.
Yeah.
But going back over into the 450 class now, Chase Sexton finally got his win when I did not pick him on Rocky Mountain. I know I was talking on here last week of how I've been wanting to pick Sexton, but he just hasn't been getting it done. So I went with the safe pick of Tomac, but yeah, that kind of backfired on me this week. Sexton going 1-5-1 for first overall, and Tomac getting a 6 out of 3-2-13 with that crash. But the 450 class, the racing was really good. Roxton looked pretty good. Just pretty much everyone up front had a really good ride. Craig, I was surprised by. He's still outside the top 10 there with P11 on the night.
But yeah, I picked him for 12th.
No, he did. He was right there. I forgot who I picked. I think I picked Wilson. He got 13th. Damn it.
Yeah. Emma picked Colt Nichols. She got that right, so.
Damn, she's doing better than Me for sure. Yeah. I'm like dead last in our group right now. I guess I kind of got off to a bad start with not picking for Anaheim, but even last two rounds I've been doing crappy. But yeah, Wilson didn't get it done. He was so close. A 13-12-12. Come on. But going out back front to Sexton. I think we've all seen his speed last year, especially in the outdoors, but even during the Supercross season, he always qualified really good. And then he had some really good races and, you know, threw him away, obviously, like that we saw last year. But I wonder if we're going to see a new side of him that were like he was during the outdoors, because, you know, it came down to the last moto. It was a really good outdoor season, and where he was battling up there with Eli, and I think it was one of the best outdoor seasons I've watched in quite a long while. And you really never knew who was going to win. And now with or going into A2, it was looking like Tomac was just going to, you know, continue on with just dominating. But I don't know. There's some really good contenders there that, like, even Anderson's looking good. He's, not looking as good as last year, but, you know, we're still really early on into the championship here. So a lot can happen, but Roxon's looking better and better on the Het bike and getting the RM Army up front there, or near the front. And Cooper Webb is looking like he's back. And I made the prediction that he was going to be back and like his old form. And because every year he has like an off year, then he does really, really good. Then he has an off year, then he does really good again. And this is his year to do really good, but he hasn't got a win yet, but he's been up front and he's been looking good. And it's looking like he has some confidence to where he can run up front and put it up with the boys there and run with Eli, contending for wins there. But I'm going down to fifth. I'm honestly surprised with Ferrandis. Like, I thought he'd be better this year, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of maybe it's the starts and stuff. I don't know, yeah. He's still, like, top five is pretty impressive, but I don't know if it's just because he didn't really get that full season in last year, if he's still kind of maybe trying to figure some stuff out in the 450 class or what.
Yeah, I thought he'd come in not as good as he was during his outdoor season when he won the championship, but because he was on fire then. Definitely caught me off guard, but I thought he'd be up there running the pace of, like, I don't know, just someone like Anderson's been up front, right, for a minute and stuff, and just looking really good. I thought he'd be up there, but I guess you really can if you're getting horrible starts, which I'm not sure where he's getting for his starts. I guess I can look that up, but I guess it probably won't show me since it's a freaking triple crown. Let me look this up. Yeah, that won't show me, I guess I can look in every main event. Okay, so it's going back to what I was saying a minute ago, how, you know, how they were calling it motos, or I think they did call them motos for a while, then they called them races. But if you go on the AMA website, it goes, if you're looking on the, where all the, like the homepage there, it says Moto 1 or Main Event 1, 2, and 3. And if you click on somewhere else, it's in Moto. I don't know. I guess it's not important. I'm just ranting. Where are we at here? Moto 1. I don't know. I'm done messing around with this website right now. But yeah, I thought Ferrandis was definitely going to be up front more often, but still, he's putting in some really good rides, you know, with a fifth there, so it's not that bad at all. But even going back to, like, Christian, like, I saw something with him just where he was saying he wasn't that comfortable and he just needs to get more comfortable on the bike and that new Husky there and you know, where he can come out and ride like himself, but still he's getting pretty bad starts to where it definitely shows to where you can't really come through the pack like you can in the 250 class for sure. So it really sucks, but you know, he's hovering there around the 10th spot, so I can see him, you know, coming up, but I don't know. I thought for sure he was going to be running in the top five, though.
Yeah.
But who knows? My fantasy picks are horrible, so I have no idea. But yeah, this weekend's filled with a lot of stuff. We got the McAdoo injuries that were the injury we're talking about, the hamstring injury we talked about, then Anderson getting into it with what's his face, Justin Starling, really wanting to know what happened there.
I know, I completely missed that. They didn't show it on TV. Like what that was about.
I know. I was going through Twitter and reading what Starling was posting. He was saying how he was holding his line, but he was in the battle himself with, I think, two other dudes. So he's trying to maintain that, but also hold his line because he knew Anderson was right there. But pretty crazy. then Anderson tweeting out stuff to Barsha, calling him a little bitch and stuff over the past couple weeks. And it's like freaking craziness. But... yeah, just where are we at here? Savage, he's up there in 10th. That's one guy I wanted to talk about too. I kind of forgot about to write him down earlier. But Savage has been doing pretty good. He's kind of on that privateer gig of being supported by Rick Rare. But just having I think Mitch has something to do with that as well though.
I was like thinking about that this week. Because I was going to bring up two hours, I heard like Wilson Todd's out, like he broke his thumb or something, I think at San Diego. But I was like thinking about, like, just as I said, we've been talking about this guy's getting injured. I was like wondering when or if Savachi was going to get a call to fill in for somebody to hopefully make his life a little easier.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm like. I'm going through and I'm like looking, like, who would get the call on? Because there's some 450 spots open. There's 250 spots open. Definitely sucks. And Joey couldn't do it. Joey's riding with one eye right now. But if you can do that, it'd be like a perfect opportunity for him to get in there. But it really sucks. But yeah, because there's just so many openings right now where it's like I'm really curious if they're gonna fill them or how far they're gonna go down. Because I know it's kind of weird, like. Mumford, he somehow got out of his deal with Bar X, but like a team, like let's say Club, let's say if all the Star Racing Yamaha riders get hurt, it's like, I think it's going to be difficult to try to pull like Enzo or someone like that from Club, because Club's wanting to compete up there with Star, right? And but So then you're going to have to go down to a lesser team, like I don't even know if you could go down and snatch Yoder from PRMX, Kawi there. Or, you know, I guess Mitch has already done it. You know, get someone that's doesn't have a ride at all right now with, you know, Chris Blows. But, which, in that case, honestly, that I think he's going to be doing really good this weekend. I'm very excited to see him race this weekend. He hasn't, you know, been retired for that long yet. So, I think, what's it been? Not even two full months yet, so... hopefully.
I mean, even like a guy like that, you almost wonder if he maybe was already like somewhat doing like some sort of testing for Mitch or something, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, or if he, you know, guy like that, I mean, so he's so fresh, like, seems like, I was even like wondering, like, somebody like Brock Tickle, like, I thought that would have been cool, but like, I think he's already got that title in 250, so I don't think he can come back, but I was like, you know, he's already like the Kawasaki test guy, and like, sounds like he's already in like really good shape. Funny, somebody like him got a call back.
I was surprised last year, honestly, like when Adam was out all summer long. I thought for sure they're gonna have Brock race, but you know, apparently they didn't, but it sucks. But he has to still just absolutely rip. That the dude looks like he's in great shape, and always seeing his the meals he has that they always post on their Instagram. What's it called?
I don't know.
Have you seen that stuff though?
No, I haven't. I don't know if I don't even follow it.
One of the PC mechanics are always posting videos of Brock and his really healthy food he's always eating. He seems to always have a really good healthy meal that they're always posting about every weekend. But yeah, he seems, or even like him or Kennard, the villain, like, it sounds really crazy right now, but like, just imagine Trey Kennard coming back and filling.
I heard he has like a broken arm or had one or something, like a broken wrist or something.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, like, how recent that was, but yeah, because like, I thought I heard something.
Was that, like, last month or something?
I'm trying to remember, yeah. Like, it was something funny, because, like, I thought I, like, something like somebody else was riding because he was hurt or something like that or another. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that, too. Yeah, they couldn't get the testing done that they wanted to or whatever. It's definitely ringing a bell. I totally forgot about that. You haven't heard anything. I guess it makes sense, but... Where's Trey at? Trey Canard. Yeah, I don't see anything up on Instagram. Or... Yeah, he did. He posted something on Instagram December 14th. He just said, missing it. So it doesn't say exactly what happened.
But, oh, I know. I really want to know what happened.
Yeah, he's another one where just imagine like him or Tickle coming back. That'd be so cool. Even like World Supercross, like Josh Grant. Like I thought no way in hell I'd see Josh Grant again. And he came out for World Supercross. Unfortunately, got hurt there. But like him and Reed, it's crazy. But. It's just, I don't know, it feels really weird only being three rounds into the season and having, like, half the field almost hurt. like, I don't know, like, even the 450 guys, but almost, you know, that most of the injuries are in the 250 class where it's, like, everyone's completely wadding up right now.
But, yeah, it'll be crazy to see, like, I mean, said we're only three rounds in, like, you know, it's, like, every year, it's, I feel like we're reminded of like how gnarly this freaking sport is and how taxing it is. You know what I mean? Like we're just wondering how many guys can get hurt. You know?
Yeah, we're only a couple rounds in, so hopefully it doesn't get, you know, knock on wood, won't get any worse.
Like we haven't really heard anything on Mookie. Like I'm wondering if he's gonna be able to come back or not.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like just from hearing other stuff in the media to where. It sounded like he was, it was serious or something. I don't know if it was like an ACL or whatever, but yeah. I have no idea what it is so far. As of, you know, what's today? Today's Tuesday. So Tuesday after 8-2. And hopefully we'll see something soon this, you know, this upcoming week. But, like he's another one too, where he was looking so good before he got hurt and just really unfortunate to see. And even going back to, like, the Adam Cincirillo, where he's hasn't been looking flashy this year like he has in the past, but, like, he just has that raw speed, though, to where it'd be so cool just to see him kind of build a base here and then be up front and even contending for a win. And it sucks so much. Everyone's so banged up right now, but and getting hurt as we speak.
Also, I feel like Adam's, like, still... Get, like chipping away, like getting better, like even with his like setup, and he's getting more comfortable being out there. Like I really, you know, I'm excited to see him just keep slowly progressing. Like I checked his Instagram story today; it was like a picture of his bike at the test track, and you could see like the photo he took. The rear shock was off of it, so like it's cool. You know, I mean, he's out there grinding, like you know, even just trying to find those little flashes to keep improving. You know. Like, you know, he's still getting that bike even better. When I see it, you know what I mean? He's out there pulling whole shots and looking quick and stuff. But it'd be cool if you can find a cool few more settings and stuff like that and get even better out there.
Yeah, and like we've seen his speed, especially since he's moved up on the 450, to where he can be up front. And he's like another one of those guys to where he can definitely be up front and just he needs to stay on two wheels, though, and... And like even like hearing interviews with him, there were, yeah, he's content right now with getting, you know, eighth, ninth place. But you know, overall, this is not where he wants to be. I don't think that many guys are that too thrilled to be getting top tens. I know some obviously probably will die to get a top 10, but you know, guys like him for sure, definitely want to be up front and stuff. And it seems like he does have that fire though. But like just going back to patience, I think it's. Huge, and if you can just even make it to the East Coast and stay healthy, because it seems like over the last couple of years it's just been horrible, just him back-to-back injuries, and then even going back to when he first turned pro. I think that was back in like 2014, and we might have talked about this last podcast or two episodes ago or whatever, but you know, he's hardly been healthy since he's turned pro. So, and he's been pro for quite a long time now, you know, time flies. And he's been so banged up over the years to where if you can build something right now and you know, get 7th through like 10th or something and just build something to where he's, you know, healthy, to where he can, you know, he's just not fresh coming off an injury trying to go all out to get a podium or win or whatnot. But looking down, we got where is he at? Aaron Plessinger in 7th. I'm a little surprised with that. He was pretty consistent this weekend though with the 8.77 for 7th overall. But I'm still waiting for him to come up there. Like when he was on Star Yamaha a couple years ago, he was looking really good, and it's been a little bit off since, you know, moving the Red Bull KTM. But he's another one of those guys that I'm definitely rooting for, and I think he can definitely, you know, he has what it takes to be up there closer to the front and putting a wheel up there.
I'm trying to think of who the hell was he kept battling with somebody, like maybe it was like Craig or something like that. Like he was like flat out like passing people though when I was like seeing like clips and stuff of him and like throughout these last couple races and stuff like that. I mean, he looks good, you know, I mean, he's got the freaking pace, like, you know, like it's cool, like, you know, he's back there in the pack, but he's usually like making passes when he's back there, you know, he's usually not, you know, it seems like he's maybe just not getting a good start and he's working his way up, so it's good to see that, you know what I mean? So
yeah, for sure.
If we see him get like a really good start, like I think he'd easily get a top 5 finish, but he's got to get that good start.
Yeah, that's one thing to where it's like there's so many good guys like Craig and almost the whole freaking 450 main. Like I'm looking at the results right now and we've talked about this and everyone talks about this to where it's starts are almost everything, because if you're getting a 12th place start, unless you're like a Tomac, and even then, you know, with being Tomac, it's going to be incredibly hard to charge up front, because those guys, that front group is going to be gone by the time you get anywhere near the lead group. Then going on the Plessinger there in 7th, like, it doesn't sound too hot, you know, that 7th place position, but looking like behind him, you got Barsha, you got Adam right there, Savachi, and then you got Craig. So there's some pretty huge names right behind him there to where he's kind of sandwiched in the middle. That's some really big names to where, you know, hopefully if he gets a start, I think he can, you know, run up there. I don't see no reason why he couldn't, even if he did drop back, you know, dropping back to 4th or even, I guess, 5th, you know. Would still, you know, be pretty good to be up there inside the top 5. But yeah, if you can start up front, and I think that's the story for a lot of people though. But this one guy I'm surprised with right now is Eli Tomac, for multiple reasons. One being, normally he gets the worst starts ever. He's been doing pretty good lately overall. And number two, really looking like he's gelling with that bike. I was definitely a little nervous going into the new year, or not nervous, but a little curious, I guess is the word, to see how he was going to do, because he won damn near everything he could on that 2022 Yamaha 450, then he making the change over to the new bike, and he's looking so comfortable on that, so it's really cool to see, and he's kind of picking up where he left off last year, which is definitely surprising. But
I mean, like, he definitely had a little bit of bad luck this weekend, but yeah, like, still faster than ever and stuff. And like, it's just like going back to what we were saying earlier, where the track like kind of funnels everybody into the same pace, and it was like really hard to pass on. Like, we saw in like the second moto how hard he worked to get around rocks, and that was like some really good, clean racing. And just watching him find those lines to weasel his way around them, and, you know, rocks and put up a pretty good fight, but then Webb, man, like, I don't know if Webb's just really good at getting in people's heads and getting them flustered and making mistakes, like, you know, how Webb was riding a wide bike and, you know, just making the same thing just as difficult. And I don't know if that's like what led him into that mistake, or if it was just a simple little mistake, you know.
Yeah, from what I heard, I saw an interview with him to where it sounded like he didn't want to land on Webb, so he just went a little bit further left on that rhythm where he fell. Then just, you know, went a little bit too far left and landed on the tough blocks there. But where I was going through and I took a video of my TV on my phone when, like, right before he crashed, obviously, of him doing that rhythm. I'm like, that's just unreal. Like, just seeing him triple onto that table, then landing and launching onto that next table there was unreal. And I was just going through and watching that and having that in slow motion with Webb right in front of him. It was, like, I think, the lap or two laps before he crashed, to where, to see how much faster it was. And it did seem quite a bit faster, but just if you were taking the outside line after that, it was not quite as fast. Where I think it was that last lap before he crashed where Webb went in the inside and he caught him pretty much, or reeled him in quite a bit on that rhythm, but he had to go outside or he was going to land, like, almost right on Webb. And then, like, he did make up some ground, but not as much as if he went inside. But just another part of the track where it was kind of interesting to see how the rhythms, the different rhythms, you know, went together and for passing opportunities and whatnot. But yeah, that was pretty sick. And I didn't even really realize Roczen was doing it as much as he was until I was going back and watching videos of that. But yeah, Roczen's one of those guys definitely that have the balls to hit something, you know.
Right.
And, I don't think you can really hate on that old RM Army Suzuki right now. I don't know. I'm really happy to see him running up front and doing good. Like, it just really sucks overall with the whole Suzuki thing and growing up, that, you know, seeing, like, Travis Pastrana on that bike and doing all the cool things he was doing racing wise even before going in full time to freestyle and all that stuff. But like, just the legendary teams they had, and with Roger and stuff, Roger DeCoster growing up, and then seeing the downfall and after, and James was riding, and when James was on it, he was looking really good too, and back, and it's crazy. That's, like, hard to believe that was almost 10 years ago, when he was in the Yoshimura Suzuki. But yeah, it's really cool to see Roczen back up front, and I think he definitely has that underdog story for sure, because I think a lot of people counted him out even before switching brands too, because, you know, just hearing stuff last year and then with him not, you know, finishing the series last year, just people counting him out and stuff, no matter what team he was on.
Yeah. Oh, he's, like, I mean, his finish of the series gone 5-4-3, so, I mean, that'd be really crazy and cool to see if he could get a second-place finish this weekend and keep that just upward trajectory, you know?
Yeah, I was surprised with, not this weekend, but San Diego, to where, because he was fading back in A1, but I guess you really can't put too much into that in A1, because he didn't have that much time on the bike at all before A1, and with it being the way that the track shaped up to be, is, you know, quite different than a lot of people were expecting, for sure. But seeing him at San Diego, towards the end of the race, I think there was like 3 minutes left where they were showing him on the broadcast, and he still had a lot of fight left in him. It was definitely really cool to see, because, you know, last year he was running up front, and he was, you know, slowly drop back and back and back to where, you know, guys like Webb and Barcia were passing him and stuff, and he was just, you know, constantly going backwards. But to see him up there and just even battling up there with the lead group is huge, and you know, there's still, what, like 14 more rounds left. So if you can just keep it together and hopefully his health, you know, stays pretty good or where it's at right now. And it sounded like he's was pretty good, but, you know, who knows with all that stuff going on. Not sure what he's battling right now, but I know he's definitely been through hell and back, and not only with the arm stuff, but dealing with, like, immune system issues and stuff. And speaking from experience, like, that definitely sucks. I think a lot of people don't get, a lot of times when you're dealing with stuff like that, like, you can come out looking like your normal self, then the next week or even, let's say, the next day, like, you can completely be a different person, to where if you're someone like Roczen, to where you're, you know, definitely outside the top 10. And just seeing a lot of haters, you know, when he does put in those bad rides, this really sucks to see. But just mad props to that guy. Definitely have a lot of respect for him, and I've always did, but especially after the injury and after all the hell he's been through, And then to see him now, you know, being having that underdog story on the Suzuki is really cool to see, and him to put it up there on the podium is huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Going on.
Well, where's that? Hopefully, man. I don't know. I was wondering, what do you think the odds are that they like put a freaking electric start on that bike if he keeps doing well? Like almost like if somebody like some like aftermarket company or something like would like step up and do something like that.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, what would they do? Like, what would Suzuki do? Like, even if they don't reamp the bike and totally go through and change everything, because it's just hard to believe. Like that bike he's on right now is like almost the same as, isn't it? Like almost 100% the same as it was in 2018 when that came out, the newer model. Like, I don't think they've changed much at all, if anything, since 2018. And I remember in 2018, you know, everyone was pissed because it wasn't that much different than before. So hopefully this kind of gets a bump and puts a bump in Suzuki's step to I don't know, fund more money into the motocross side of the company or what. But I don't, like, even if they just did put an electric start, I think that'd be interesting to see, if you know, with him being on there. But he's been embracing that Kickstart Kenny thing, and I was seeing definitely a lot of stuff he was posting up until where he was sitting on the track, was it last weekend or something, just kicking his bike, couldn't get it started there for a good 30 seconds or so.
Yeah.
But unlike the 250 West, the 450 points are pretty good. We got Tomac still in the number one position, holding that red plate with 69 points right now. Then I got Sexton and Webb tied for second with 65, so only 4 points down going into the round four. Man, this spreadsheet's getting me freaking mixed up. Going back to what I said, you know, how they're counting Oakland as round two. Every time I look at that, it messes me up. But yeah, it says round five in Houston. But, you know, going in technically round four this week, it's to the points really close. And even Roczen is right there in fourth with 58, so not too far out. But still, I think it's shaping up to be a really good year. And honestly, all I'm rooting for is I want Tomac to win, but you know, I think it would be really cool to see Sexton get the championship. But I just more or less just I'm rooting for good racing and just kind of like how the outdoor season was. You know, if it's anything like that, I'll be happy for sure.
Yeah.
But I think we've touched on everything I wanted to get to. Is there anything else that you wanted to add that we missed?
I don't know if you've just seen the track layout and stuff for this week, and it was pretty, like, another pretty good track, like, really short start straight, but, like, the way they use the space for the race this weekend and stuff like that, it looks like the track should be pretty good and kind of technical. It has, like, a big sweep in sand section and stuff like that, that'll probably make it pretty interesting if it's like a really, really sandy, you know.
They have that Houston, like when Sexton ate it a couple, was it last year, 2 years ago, when he catapulted into the rhythm section, but I think that was in Houston as well. But you have that. I think the whoops are longer this weekend.
So they have a really long whoop section too, so and to make for some good racing and stuff.
Yeah, I think it should be really good. I'm really looking forward to the 250 East. Have no idea picks wise what I'm doing with that, but I guess we can always make that later. But should be some really good racing. And you know, heading into the East Coast, I'm really excited to see what Jeremy Martin can do. He's been off for a while, and to see him back on the club bike is really cool to see. And I know he had offers, you know, from Star, and I'm sure a couple other factory teams as well. You know, last year, did he have an offer from PC last year?
I don't know. I think I only remember, like, kind of hearing, like, the little bit of, like, him leaving Star for a club deal.
I remember hearing something between him and PC, but I don't know if, like, he was trying to reach out to PC or if he did have an offer, but shoot, that's going to kill me now because I have no idea what happened with that, but yeah, but it's so cool to see Club grow every year, and I feel like every year we're talking about it, of how, oh, Club is, they got so-and-so now, and you know, they're making progress to where, from where they were last year, and it's like every year it's the same thing we're saying, and they just keep on building and stuff. And one thing I wanted to mention, and I don't have the freaking name for it, I guess I can look on YouTube right now, but they have that series, almost like a vlog type thing on YouTube, behind the scenes. Club. Yeah, that stuff's so good.
Behind the Gate.
What's it called?
I think Behind the Gate.
Oh, Behind the Gate. Yeah, I've watched the first two, and those are really good, and I'm looking right now on YouTube, and they have the headset audio of the second moto with Nicoletti, and I started to listen to that one on Instagram earlier today, but definitely right when we get done here, before I start messing around with editing this, I definitely have to watch that real quick, because I saw the first like 20 seconds, and it's Brandon on there when McAdoo is behind Nicoletti, saying how he's going to come up the inside, and he's like, oh no, Phil got it. And then I can imagine what it was like for the whole Club team, you know, seeing Nicoletti lead for 8 laps. Really cool to see. But yeah, if you guys haven't watched that already, the Behind the Race, it's up on YouTube. They got San Diego up there right now, Anaheim and San Diego. But there. Yeah, so far it's just Anaheim. I guess they have preseason stuff too. So
yeah, I've been watching that for a while now. Like, I was like getting curious about it because like I had heard that Garrett was hurt and nobody had announced it yet. But then you like, if you watch those like YouTube videos they were doing, you notice that they stopped putting riding clips in of Garrett.
It's funny though because there's stuff being posted on Instagram still. Of I think on Garrett's, you know, stuff before he came out and said he got hurt. And then, yeah, with them not posting any riding clips, too. Like, for a little while there, I'm like, I could have swore he was hurt, and then seen a picture or something, but I'm like, is it old? But he's another one, too. I heard they might have a filling guy for him for this weekend. So I have no idea. I'm just stuff I heard through other interviews and stuff, so I have no idea if that's true or who it's going to be, if it is true, but I guess that'll be another thing that we can
wait on and
see. Yeah, like I'm all for filling riders and it, giving a lot of different guys opportunities, but yeah, hopefully he'll be back soon. I'm not sure if he'll be back for Supercross or what, but that's even if he does miss a couple rounds, it's such a bummer. You know, last year he was looking really good there on the West Coast and stuff and making progress, and I've been rooting for him ever since basically he's been cut by PC. And like I thought for sure he was gonna stay with PC, and you know, he had that one win at Daytona a couple years ago, and he was looking really good, and just dealing with injuries and stuff is just really unfortunate, but I've been rooting for him on Club, and he's another one too. Definitely have to get some info going to see what's going on with some of these riders. You know, hopefully we'll find out some more info on him, along with, you know, guys like Malcolm and all that, and see when they'll be back, and hopefully soon, you know. But yeah, I think we've touched on everything I want to touch on. I would make my picks for the 250 class, but I have no idea. So I think we should.
I feel like it's going to go right back. I feel like, oh, yeah, wait, never mind. I was just about to make a West Coast guy. I'll put Hunter Lawrence in first. And then, I'm trying to think of who else is going to be, like, up there.
Martin's going to be up there.
I think Martin would be, like, a third place guy. I'm trying to think of, like, who.
Yeah, with Shimoda out, it's like I was going to have him and, you know, Hunter be up there battling for the title, but. Such a bummer. Shimoda seems like a really good kid, and getting hurt so close to the season sucks.
Or like think Mosman will do well and stuff.
Yeah, he should be up there. And Mosman, Martin. It kind of sucks. Martin's, he hasn't done horrible, but, you know, he's known for his outdoor skills. But, like,
Tom Vialo, I wonder how he's going to do, too.
Yeah, that's one rider I'm really curious. Like, I have no idea at all. Like, I don't watch GPs at all, and that's one thing I'm kind of off topic right now, but one thing I know that a lot of U.S. guys that are really in the moto and stuff don't watch MXGP that much, if little to any at all. So that's, like, one thing I want to do this year is watch more MXGP races. Like, now it's, like, every weekend I'm glued to the TV for Supercross. There's no way I'm, you know, not going to be watching it, but it seems like I've only watched a handful of MXGP races over the last handful of years, so it really sucks. But from what I see from when he was over there in Europe, like, it definitely seems like he has insane amounts of talent, so hopefully that can transition over the Supercross, which that's always really interesting to see the foreign guys come over, and guys like Ferrandis, but who was it on PC before Ferrandis? He ended up going back over to Europe. What's his face? Oh my god, that's gonna kill me.
I'm drawing a blank.
I'm drawing a blank. This whole episode, I'm drawing a blank on everything. Okay. I was so tired, but oh my god, what's his name? He's from Switzerland, I believe. He's like number 4 on the Yamaha team over there now. Anyways.
Oh, like Dean Ferris, is it, or something?
No. Not that old. So there has to be someone listening right now being like, "Oh, you idiot, it's so and so." I'm not going to get it. I could be sitting here all night, but oh my god, that's gonna kill me. Like, right after we get done recording, or right down after I hit pause right now, it's gonna come up. But I don't know, it's too freaking tired, been a long day at work. But I think it's gonna be some really good racing, you know, even though with Shimoda and not everyone lining up, but you know, definitely have Hunter Lawrence for the win. But you know, I think it should be really good to where, who knows, we could have, you know, Tom surprise us. But even just being up front, I think it would be huge for him, just, you know, gaining knowledge or gaining experience on Supercross and everything. But him, and really interested in seeing Martin on the club bike and everything. So it should be some really good racing, and points wise too. You know, we got a brand new points season here for the 250 East, so starting over, and you know, hopefully it'll be a really good season full of tight racing as well. So,
and I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more, by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247. And all caps, MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well, at Blood Lubricants.